Pastor's title today is He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Pastor, can you give us that message, please?
Thank you, Steve. Let's all stand up and sing. You know the song, right? Do you know the song? He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. Hallelujah. I forgot that last part. When I was going through this, you know, this song at the end just came up to me, you know, and of course there's more to it as well. But really, it's just God has everything, you know, in His hands. And He's an amazing, awesome God. And, you know, I don't know about you. You can experience God's bigness, His greatness in many ways. I remember many, many years ago, before our boys were born, Joy and I were in Canada visiting her family, and just before we were going to go, maybe a day or so before, we heard that the airline that we were going to take, they were going to be on strike, and the flight was canceled, and it was close by, you know, about a couple hour drive from where her parents lived there in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And so we're going, what are we going to do? Our flight is canceled. We, you know, we got to get back to work, go to school, whatever it is that, you know, we're doing and stuff like that. And so we're kind of, well, we're just not sure what to do. And then I don't know if it was Viola and Joy's oldest sister or not, but somebody said, hey, I'll drive you to Minneapolis. You know, and that's an 8-hour drive, you know. So we're going, but then we all, and then, you know, just we said, okay, you know, that's really the only way, you know. And 8-hour drive later, we got into the airport thinking that we're going to have a lot of hassle and, you know, just have to do a lot of waiting and who knows how long it would take and all that stuff. But when we got in there, they said, oh, hi. Oh, the flight? You get on right now. You know, we got on a flight from Minneapolis to Chicago, you know, even though we're going the opposite direction, at least we got on a plane. So we got into Chicago thinking, okay, maybe we're going to have some issues there. And they're going, hey, hurry, hurry, hurry. Get there. There's one that goes to Houston. So we're going, oh, we'll go to Houston. Yeah, it's a little bit closer where we want to go. So we went to Houston. And then we got there and we only had a 1-hour wait in Houston. And then we flew a couple hours to L.A. And then as we got home, we called up Joy's sister and mom, who were with us on the trip. They didn't even get back home before we did. We got there faster than they did. And we chalk that up to God's providence, you know, and we have to walk in it, but He just does things. You know, He works things out in ways that, of course, we wouldn't imagine or even want to do at times or go through, but to show His power, His love, to experience that, to know that He is God, that He is the great I Am, and there is no other besides Him. And so that, you know, when we look at this scripture today, it fits right in with that. Even today, shoveling snow from 7 to 8:30 in the morning, then I'm coming up to this pile by the side of the road, and then here comes Eddie with a snow plow, and he was able to do it within a couple minutes. You know, he just pushed the other big stuff aside, and I went off all sweaty. I actually sweat in this weather. Did you know that? Sweaty, but praising the Lord for God's providence, once again, providing somebody coming in just at the right time, or I would have been there for another half an hour probably going, ooh, like that. So it's wonderful how God works. So we just experience God's providence. And people say, well, what's Providence? I know Providence, Rhode Island. Have you ever been there? It's kind of a pretty city. So for that, but I kind of searched out, you know, the biblical definition is the divine guidance and guardian of the sovereign God, who by foresight makes provision beforehand so that all things work out for the good of those who love Him, and that He will complete everything that He started. In other words, God is in control of everything. The whole universe that He created. Every little detail in the universe and in our lives and the lives of the people around us. God is in control. If he was not in control of everything, then there would be an issue. There would be an issue. But he is, even though it doesn't look like it. I mean, even when you look at the world today, we're going, God's in control now. Why is all this happening? Well, don't forget, he is the potter, and we are the clay. And we can say whatever we want to him. Hey, why this, why that? We wonder this, doubt that. But you know what? He's still the potter. And he will create a beautiful pot for a specific reason. And then he'll create a little cup. And some people might go, why am I just a little cup? Why are a big, beautiful pot? He has his reasons, because he is more than we can understand, right? We can't fathom the way he does things in his thoughts. And so today we look at this passage here, going back in history, thousands of years, to a guy named Saul. And we see the same work of God happening there as he'd shown in my life. And I'm sure if you reflected on your life, even today or yesterday or whatever, you'll see the same thing. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And we're going to be kind of looking at also, what does this really mean for us, though? You know, God's providence. What does that really mean for us today in our own lives? So hopefully we can hash that out today as well by the grace of God. Let's pray before we go. Father, thank you again for that we can even come together in your name, and that we have your word written out for us. And Lord, it's not just a reading part, but it's that the spirit of your word, and it's your Holy Spirit that makes it come alive. Father, give us that aliveness that we can receive your word and not only just hear it, but Lord, to retain it and put it into action and to persevere in it. So, Father, we pray that your name be glorified, that you will empower my words by your Spirit, and that you will receive that glory, all the glory. I do pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Proverbs, it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So we might have all these great plans, and I forget who I was talking to the other day or something like that, but they had something. Was it you, Will? I can't remember who was I. Was it you? I think it was. What was that you said? Can you remember? Was it your dad that said that? Man's plans are God's biggest laugh. And that's about right. Thank you for that. Boy, am I becoming forgetful in my young age? Well, maybe. So we're looking at the context. That's why I had Steve go back into chapter 8 a little bit, because we have to kind of understand it. This is a dangerous time in the period of Israel. Can you see it? Because there's a transition from these judges who were really, you know, God's people that he anointed. He especially chosen to lead their country and spiritually and maybe in battle or whatever. And now it's going to be transitioning to a kingly line. And whenever you have a transition, there's a lot of upset. And whenever you talk about kingly lines, you're talking about power. And there's a lot of people out there that want it. So I can see a lot of people going, oh, I want to be king. I want to be king. I want to be king. Right? And then it starts off. Notice how it starts off here in chapter 9. You know, because if you go back to chapter 1, you know, it starts off with a man. You know, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite. So something's starting to happen here. Well, now, in chapter 9, there is a Benjamite, a man of standing. So you know something is happening here. And it just happens that this guy, this man, had a son. And this son was the tallest, strongest, best-looking guy in the country. Kind of like me. Sorry. Where's Don when I need him? But, you know, so that's it. So what's happening is, you know, God gave Samuel the green light to anoint a king, even though Samuel's going, shoot, I don't want to do this. And you notice that at the end of chapter 8, he says, everybody get out of here, go home. Just go home. Yeah, that's where Samuel was. Just go home, you wicked, rebellious people, you. And it's so funny because in chapter 9, what's happening? Well, Kish is going, hey, where are my donkeys, boy? And Saul's going, I don't know. I've been hanging out in an apple tree somewhere. And he says, well, go get them. Take the servant and go find them, you know. And what do you know about donkeys? What is a characteristic of a donkey? Stubborn, right? Rebellious. Ooh, a kind of a kick there, right? So, you know, this kind of, you know, God, if you look at God and people say, oh, God doesn't have a sense of humor. You know what? He does. And he works through all these things, simple things like donkeys being lost. He sent them a flight. You know, God has his plan, sends them a flight. And they're going after these guys, a donkey going after donkeys. Rebellious people. You know, that's what the Israelites were at that point. And so the journey is gone, and as we've read, as Steve read, they're not finding them after 3 days, and they come to a place that's close, a district and that it has this this guy. They call him a seer, and you know, a prophet of God, Samuel. His hometown, most likely, or maybe he was traveling in that area and one of his, you know, going on one of his journeys, teaching and doing things like that. And so they meet him in that. You know, what's interesting is that in all of these things here, you know, God is working. And even, and he leads us. And it's important for us to understand that even in our free will that he gives us, even our free will, the liberty that we have to make choices, it doesn't affect his providence. If you haven't noticed here, all these things, you know, just how he can just, oh, you going this way? Well, I'll just, you know, this is, you know, I'll just use that and keep moving this thing and my redemption plan right down the line. And it's just the way he does things. And I think that's what amazes us about him and confuses us about him too at times. So a stubborn, rebellious people in a dangerous time where transition is happening. And you know what's interesting too? This Saul guy, he was a Benjamite. If you go back to Genesis 49:10, and Jacob is blessing all of his kids, his 12 boys. Well, he says here in verse 10, he says this to Judah, the tribe of Judah. He says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. So here it's plainly saying that the kings are coming from the tribe of Judah. Well, what's this guy coming from Benjamin? You know, the Benjamites, you know, don't forget what happened to them in the times of the judges. Just, I don't know how recently from this or not, they almost got exterminated because of a sin that was going on, and they went to battle against their own brothers. And they were taking them all out. And there was only so many left of them, 400, 500, I forget a number. But it wasn't that many left. So the tribe was, you know, weakened quite a bit. And yet, God is raising this guy up to be king. So his plans, you know, it's kind of interesting how he's working, and maybe we'll come up with an answer today, or maybe that's something that he'll provide at another time. In verse 6, he says, his servant replied to him. He says, look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected. Everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take. You know, they're still thinking about the donkeys. But, you know, they're looking for direction. I know a lot of times, you know, we have jobs or life decisions one way or another, schooling, whatever it is. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm look for direction quite a bit. You know, and here it is. You know, they're looking for direction. They want to know where to find these donkeys. And so they come to this man of God. And you know how God arranges this is rather amazing too. All these random details just come together. Donkeys. You got the donkeys flying, these guys are running around, these guys are looking and they're ran out of food, they hardly have anything, they have a half a shekel to give to the man of God, the seer, to be able to tell, get some guidance. And then, you know, it just kind of flows from there. All these random details, God works through them for his glory and for it to show his power, really, his providence, as we say. So Saul said to his servant, if we go, what can we give the man? So they're talking about, you know, how much, you know, usually for a seer, somebody important, he'll, you know, you'll want to give him something, you know, for his service. And they came up with that half shekel, and they went up to him, and as they were going up, they find these young girls, young women going to the well. And we see this happen throughout the Bible too, don't we? The well, you know, the well of where the Samaritan woman was going to, and Jesus met with her. The well where Moses fled Egypt and these shepherdesses were trying to water their flock and they were getting shooed away by the other shepherds. You know, so all this comes into play in how God works. And it's interesting. So they come in, they're starting to come up to this area where Samuel, the man of God, is, and then they follow, and then here's these women. And then if you noticed, they're asking, where's the seer? And they don't go, well, he's over there, and that's it. No. Just kind of a long discourse here. What they got really detailed, you know, what they were saying. He is, they answered, he's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has come to our town today, for the people have sacrifices, this is verse 12, at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You should find him about this time. I think they just wanted to talk with this handsome guy, don't you? You know, they're probably going, ooh, let's keep him a little bit longer. Giving him his, you know, instead of just pointing him, go, he's over there, you know, no. You know, they gave a lot of detail for him. And then they went up to the town there in verse 14, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel. Boop, oh, it just happened. Samuel's walking by. Boop, oh, happenstance, oh. What a lot of people just kind of throw these, oh, it's fate, it's karma, it's whatever else you want to say. You know, this is, you know, all these things that we run into, people are saying, you know, the word karma and all that stuff comes out time and time and again because people just can't explain how God works. So they try to make up their own thing instead of giving him the glory and the praise and the thanksgiving for it all. And so he just happens to meet Samuel on the road. And, you know, it's amazing because it's there in verse 15, if you look at that, it says, now the day day before this happened, Saul came. The Lord had revealed this to Samuel. So the day before. See, there's that that providence of God, that control. He's control over all, everything, time, everything. He knows. He knew this was going to happen. And he told Samuel that he's going to run into this Benjamite, this Saul, and he's the one that he's supposed to anoint as king. He says there in 16, says, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him ruler over my people Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me. Where have we heard that before? Oh, life groupers, where have we heard that before? In Exodus, right? You know, the people were crying out because they're under oppression of Pharaoh. And they cried out, and God heard their cries. He sees and he cares. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, "This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people." And then, you know, you can read this a little bit more if you want, but really what happens is this. You know, Samuel says, "Hey, come, let's go eat. I got a seat already prepared for you. I got food already prepared for you. Just come and eat." So everything was all ready, and I'm sure Saul and his servant were just going, "Man, this is amazing." They're probably pretty hungry too. And you know, they're just, "Wow." It doesn't really say anything. And in fact, you know what's really funny about this, and this is something we have to be careful of too. Saul had no clue who Samuel was. Hello? This is the leader of your country. This is the guy that's already led the Israelites into battle and defeated the Philistines. This is the one that travels around and is teaching and doing things. And he had no clue. And he was pretty much a neighbor with Samuel. And he had no clue who he was. I don't know. But you know what? God continues to work. I think I can go back in my own life. You can go back to your own life. And there are many times where we walked, we had no clue who God was. Oh, we heard his name and we might believe some of this and that and stuff like that, but we really had no clue. We really didn't. He was right there with us. He's all around us. He's knocking on our hearts and all that, and we're still kind of going, "Huh?" So we can't really get mad at Saul, but we can see where he's at. He's not really a spiritual guy that we know about. He's a handsome guy, strong guy, tall guy. A well-off guy. I would say he's looks like he has some type of modesty to him, you know, in his character. You know, he's not looking, "I want to be king." No, he wasn't. Yeah, no, he wasn't doing that. He was also a go-getter. You know, he didn't quit very easily. So he had a lot of perseverance in him, and he was obedient. You know, his dad sent him off, and he went, and he was, determined to find those donkeys. So part of his character is there. Not a bad guy to have as your king, really, except for the spiritual part. And that's actually, as we read, that comes to be an issue as well. So God's handiwork and all of this, he's working in different time frames than we do. He works through random events like donkeys wandering off. He brings people like young women going to the well to give guidance and direction. And then you actually meet this man of God who has everything prepared for you. I don't know about you. I've had many experiences like that in my life, to where it looks like things are just going to be so difficult. And all of a sudden, it just almost like the Red Sea, truthfully, parting before me. Even like that experience that we had with that airlines. I mean, no way. we made it back like in, I think about 5, 6, 7 hours or something like that. And it was an 8-hour trip. So that's why we beat them back. You know, he just parted the sea and we're just going, wow, this is great. get back home quickly, quicker than we thought we could. And that's how God works in our lives. He planned this kingship a long time ago. He talked about that the Israelites were going to be having a king. But he also had them, there's a godly king that, you know, he was setting up in the kingdom. And we'll talk about that more maybe next week or beyond. Providence of God in our own lives. If you want to look at it more, you can look at it in the life of Joseph. I mean, not a very easy story, but he raised up Joseph. He chose him to save his people. And not only his people, but the people of Egypt as well. You know, the story of Moses. You know, when you look at that, he was born in a time when they were killing all these male children. And float them down the river right into the Pharaoh's daughter's lap, pretty much. Amazing. No way. Who would write such a thing? Who would think about such a thing? All these little details going on in that as well. You know, Queen Esther, look at that. Look at Esther. She was, just because she was so beautiful, God raised her up for such a time as these, that he could rescue his people from the enemy. Story of David, little boy, running around with a slingshot, knocking down a big boy. No way. Who's that guy? He was the youngest of all those guys of that family. But he was from the line of Judah, the tribe of Judah. And many more. Jesus, born in a manger. Born to show us the way. He was born to show us the way, and he died to make a way for us. And if you look at his life, there is a lot of interesting things happening. All the people he met and all the things that he did. He just arranging things, teaching his disciples and making the kingdom of God known, making God known to the people in that area. And that's what he does. So for us, we can be like Saul and the servant, you know, which way do you take? I mean, moment to moment, day to day, you have decisions that you have to make. How am I going to approach this situation with this person or my job or my wife or husband or my children or whatever, you know, what words or what things, you know, all this. And we kind of bumble around sometimes on our own, but we miss out on something very important. You know, we're not like Saul at this point. We're kind of going, well, who is this man of God? No, we know who God is, and we're growing in the knowledge of who he is. And so we need to come to him. Look for him for guidance, first of all. And it says that in Matthew 16, right? Where it says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But we got to turn our eyes to him and turn away from all the other things that we use and even ourselves. And we have to humble ourselves to know who he is and allow him to be God. God sees. God cares. So knowing that, we need to come to him. He sees us. And he cares about where we're at. And he has these purposes for us. You know, he had a purpose for Saul. And he had a perfect purpose for Samuel. He has a purpose for each one of us. And some of us are little tiny cups, and some of us are big pitchers filled with milk. You know? But that's his. That's God. You know, he's the one that chooses, you know, who's doing what to fit into his redemption plan. And not just a redemption plan now. For us, it's not just redemption, but now it's salvation too, as we wait for Christ to come back and to bring us home. That deliverance that he gives us. He sees, so we need to turn to him, for he sees and cares. We need to, you know what? Another thing we need to do is we need to love and trust him. I mean, we really do. We need to love and trust him. We won't necessarily understand everything that he does or what he's, why he did this and that. I mean, we're just going to have to admit that he has the more than we can understand. And as his plan is going to continue on. But we need to trust him and love him for who he is. And knowing that he sees and cares about us. His love is unfailing, and it's a love that doesn't change. And it's a love that we cannot earn. He has given it to us freely. So we don't have to understand everything he does. But we do need to love and trust him for who he is. And lastly, we are to humble ourselves by asking directions. and not just asking and receiving, because how many times have you said somebody given you directions or told you how to do things, and then you throw away the manual and you say, I'm doing it myself. And then have fun. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer than you expect. All right? Or your mom and dad or somebody, your best friend, you're kind of going, I don't know what to do here. And they're saying, well, I have to do this. And you're going, no. Yeah. I know it better than you. All right? So we need to trust, to obey, you know, to hear it, to listen, you know, to the word of God, and actually to, yes, to break through that disobedience, that pride, the selfishness. We need to break through it and just say, okay, I'll follow you. In obedience, I will persevere and be resilient, even when it looks bad, even when it looks like there's just no way. And it's incredibly crazy. No, God, he can't work this out, but he can. He is the God of the impossible. So just like Joy and I, when we experienced God's grace and his providence that day, you know, clearing the way. Could have been a very arduous journey. God not only protected us, but he smoothed the way for us to get home in one piece and in sound mind. And really praising the Lord. We're praising him, just going, wow, how did this happen so quickly? Don't miss out on him. Don't miss out on his providence. You know, see it. You know, Marilyn's always telling us, holy noticing. You know, so open up the eyes. You know, that's where it comes through. You know that he is there. You're not alone, and you're not God. And you're not the greatest pot in the world. You're just a little, you're just something that he made for this occasion. Now, Jesus Christ was the one that he sent, the greatest of all, his son. I don't know if you saw that movie, what is it, His Only Son, about Abraham's life. If you haven't, I would really encourage you to watch it. Where did we see that? Was it Prime? Prime? So I'm not sure if you all have Prime or not, but you can look for it. So, but, you know, it's only two people. You know, you had Abraham. He's going to have to kill his son. That's what he understood. You know, long-awaited son. And God stopped him because he saw his faith. He had so much love for God, it was more than a son. That's the way we need to be. And Jesus, going to the cross, he had so much love for us that he took on the penalty of God's or his Father's wrath for us. In obedience to the Father's will and not his will. And that's a part of walking in the providence of God, knowing that he is in control. He is working all around us. We just need to be those who follow. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word and coming to know you, Lord, more and more. And yes, we see we can be donkeys, rebellious, stubborn. But Lord, we know that you work in and through all this as well, and you continue to work with us and shape our lives and continue to show your great love for us and give us guidance even when we're not even looking for it. And you intervene. I know you've intervened how many times in my life to straighten me out and to show me the right way. So thank you for that, Father. Can always trust in you. It's when things are going bad and you just want to trust in yourself or whatever thing else in the world, that's when we start falling apart. But Lord, teach us to know that you are God, that we can be still and wait upon you. Because you are good. And you have good things for us. So we must trust you and follow you in simple obedience and faith that you've given us by the power of your Holy Spirit. So help us, Father, to continue on in this journey that you've given us. Help us to be a blessing to those around us who are still wondering who even God is, or they might know his name or know about him, even believe some things about him, but they just don't know what it is to walk in the cool of the day with you. They don't know what it's like to sit at your feet to hear your voice. So may we be those who speak your hope and love and truth to them, to pray for them, to encourage them, to be there for them, even when they're being unlovable. For that is who you are. And we can trust in you. We can seek your guidance and follow you, even though it doesn't look right. Or it looks like it can turn out to be anything good, Lord. But we know that as you're in it, it is good. It's going to be good. And you complete all things. All that you started, you will bring into completion. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen.